Our scriptural affirmation today comes from Amos, the fourth chapter, and we will read that. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink.
The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with clothes and your posterity with fish hooks.
And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord.
Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years.
And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God.
And I also have given you leanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, and yet they not return unto me, saith the Lord.
And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it raineth not withered. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, and have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
For lo, he hath formed the mountains, and created the wind, and declared unto man what is his thought, that they make the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name.
Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you. Today, Lord, is a unique day, and we just ask that you would help us. We ask that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would we would hear you, that we would experience you. Put aside all the stuff, Lord, and help us to get you, just to relax in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. May we truly praise you. Father, may the things that we do not be by rote, not be just out of habit, but that we would really praise you because we come to this amazing realization of that you are wonderful, that we come to this amazing realization that there is none other like you. We praise you because you are worthy. We praise you because you're great. We praise you. There's none other like you. And we are grateful that we can come boldly to your throne to praise you, to worship you, to surrender ourselves afresh to you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the fourth chapter of Amos. We are reminded of something that has kind of been a theme this summer for us, is how do we navigate through judgment? How do we get along in life with all of the stuff that's going on around us? How do we get along with all of this crazy world that we're involved in? I'm just amazing. I saw an article. I didn't read the article. I didn't have time, but as I was scrolling past, I saw an article that the title really struck me. And it was, I think, from Slate magazine or something, and it said, "Should I allow my children to play with my evangelical neighbors?" The world thinks we're dangerous. The world is concerned about us. They're worried about us that we may not be good for their children. But that's not the only craziness out there. There's so many things that demonstrate that we are in a place where God may be turning up the screws on us a little bit. We're in a place where God may be showing that we need to consider who we are. And regardless, you and I, we need to know how to live in a time such as this. We need to know how to get it. We need to know, how do you go through this stuff? And that's what the Word of God has been showing us in some sometimes kind of depressing ways. But if we really stop and think about it, it's His amazing grace that lets us see these things. It's His amazing wonder that allows us to grasp, oh, maybe it's not so good, and we need to really grasp what to do when things are not so good. Maybe we shouldn't even be looking to this time when we are suddenly in control and in charge and all of that, and everything goes our way and we are the majority that we once thought we were. That line has all kinds of implications that I will not begin to address right at the moment. So let's look at Amos, the fourth chapter, and just consider what he was saying. I think sometimes I feel, you know, like, you're so harsh. I'm nothing compared to these Old Testament prophets. I'm telling you. You got to understand. Look at what he does here. In verse 1 of chapter 4. Hear this word. This is a word from God. I want you to understand, this is a word from God. He's telling these people. He's talking to these people. And he says, hear this word, ye kind of Bashan. What? He's calling these women cows. Can you imagine if I walked up, you cows? You know, look at that cow over there. You know, she ain't even good for milk. You know, ye kind of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria. Samaria was the capital at this time, which oppress the poor. They weren't treating the poor right, and they were doing well. This is actually a time where they were financially prosperous. This is a time that things seem to be going well. And he's saying, you who are oppressing the poor, you crush the needy. You make it worse for the needy. You know, we could do that. It's really easy to look down on the needy. It's really easy for us to comment to the needy and about the needy in ways that crush them. We could be mad about what they get and what they don't get and what they do and what they don't do. We crush the needy, which say to their masters, They're talking to their husbands now. Bring, let us drink. Listen, husbands, will you get out there and get some money so that we can drink all that we want to drink, that we can have all that we want to have? Now, 40 hours is enough for you. You can do 50. You're strong. You're sweet. Just make sure you stop by the store on the way home, okay? They're manipulative people, manipulative women in this particular case that are crushing the needy, that are pressing down those that are poor, and they're doing everything for their own benefit. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness. This is a solemn oath to him. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. There'll come a day when you who are so satisfied with yourself, you who are so okay with yourself, you that are so thinking that you are holy people, there's going to come a day when he's going to grab you by the nose or whatever way that they're going to transport you. They're going to transport you right out of your freedoms, right out of your life, right out of the things that you have been depending on. You're going to be a slave. You're going to be taken away. You're going to be transported out. And ye shall go out at the breaches. It's going to be so bad. Samaria had big, thick walls. But the walls were going to be broken down so badly that when the ones that were taking them away wouldn't have to go around to the gate, they could just walk out through the holes that had been made by the conquerors. That happened in 722 BC, I believe. Everything that you depended upon, everything that you thought was what would keep you, crushed, destroyed. Every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Talking about those women, those cows. But not only will you... Are you in trouble for not taking care of the needy, not taking care of the poor, not being the kind of people that I've called you to be? You are also not worshiping well. It's a frustrating thing to find out that your worship sucks. Look at this. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. Because of who you are, because of the way that you're behaving, because of the kinds of things that are in your heart, your very worship is sin. Wouldn't it be terrible if Jesus whispered in your ear right now, you think you're worshiping me, but you're just sinning. You think you're doing right, but you ain't right. In fact, you know you ain't right. You know that you're lost in sin. You know that you're not at the place that you should be. You've known what to do, and now you're going through the motions of life. You're going through the stuff of everyday life. You're going through all of these things, and you know that it doesn't work. Look at this. It says, come to Bethel. This is the place that Jeroboam had set up. Jeroboam wanted set up, and they were worshiping there. It was never really a good place to do the worship the way that they did, but they were worshiping there. And he said, go ahead, keep on worshiping. Worship some more. Worship, do more than you're doing. Gilgal, another place that they had set up. Multiply your transgressions. Make it worse on yourself. Make it clear. So when judgment comes, you will not be able to even think about saying this is not fair because you've not been right. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Show yourself that you are saying, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be unfair. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to treat people in a way that's not righteous. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do whatever I want and pass me another thing of wine. Now, I want to be careful. This is not us. But is there a possibility that you see some of you in this? This is Israel. But it is a possibility that we go through the motions. Is there a possibility we go to the place prescribed to worship, but we do it in a way that does not honor God? Is there a possibility that our heart's not right? Here they are offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise, but we really don't mean it, Lord. We're just doing the motions in the way that makes us look good. Look, world, and see us here. Don't you wish you could be like us? Could it be that our worship is not what it should be? Could it be that we're behaving in a way that we should not behave, even in the house of the Lord, because our heart is not right? It's time for our hearts to be right. Proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this, that's how you are. This is like a thief. This is how you are, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And God has really been pushing on us so that we will call upon him. He really has been pushing on us, trying to help us to depend upon him. You know, it's really easy for us not to depend on God. It's really easy for us to become self-sufficient. So many of you are so very talented. So many of you have so much going for you that you begin to depend on you instead of depending on God. We forget how quickly it can all be gone. This week, the queen died. Some people thought, is she going to live forever? But in a day, she was gone. You heard she was sick, and then, boom, she was gone. How many people that we know that are vital and strong, and suddenly they're struggling in ways that we cannot imagine? How many of us here have been just moving along just wonderfully and everything going right, and then we find ourselves flat on our back? How many of us are aging And as we age, we feel the creaks and the pain and are frustrated because we know what can be done and we are not the ones that can do it anymore. Verse 6 says, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities." Hunger. I was flossing my teeth. And I don't know about you, I hate flossing. I actually don't like flossing. It's kind of gross, you know, because stuff comes out of your mouth. Like, that's been there all night. You know, it's just like a yucky kind of thing. But one thing that flossing tells me is I've eaten. But these people, they didn't have to worry about flossing because they hadn't been eating. There was a leanness that was coming to their land and want of bread, desire for bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. When things get lean, are you recognizing that that leanness may be coming from God himself? Maybe that leanness is a blessing to you because it makes you realize that you need God. That leanness is telling you, oh my goodness, I can't do this of my own. Look at this. Also, I have withholden the rain from you. What can we do if the rain doesn't work? We try some things. We might try to dig a ditch from the Mississippi to the west to do that. But you know what? Without God giving us the rain, nothing that we do is going to work. Nothing that we do is going to matter. I've withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. Here's what happens. Many crops, if they don't get rain before the harvest, before harvest time, what happens is that those crops are weak or don't come to fruition the way that they should. We don't put things together. We don't put the mess over here with the problem over here. We don't put the disobedience over here with the failure over here. We need to be able to tie these things together. We need to know how to walk in the midst of the judgment that comes from God. We need to learn. We're the blessed ones. The curse has been reversed for us. We are blessed. But we need to know what to do in the midst of a place that is challenged. And the world is challenged today. Everywhere you go, everywhere, every community. Go to a football game and the crowd is so rowdy that they have to stop the game. That's not supposed to happen in the nice places. Maybe the nice places aren't so nice after all. Maybe it's true that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe it's true that we all fall and we need the very grace of God to be able to get up. We need the very grace of God to change our lives. We need the very grace of God working in our lives. He says, I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. He did them both. We don't like to hear that God picks and chooses like that. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Things drying up. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water. They all gathered one place, all being shipped around, going to different places, trying to find something that will satisfy. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. All of this stuff is happening, and we realize we can't solve it on our own, yet we haven't gone to God. We didn't go to God when the first thing started happening, when there was famine. We've not gone to God when there's no rain. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase, the palmer worm devour them, yet have ye not returned unto me. Down at the RFC, the garden, we had a really good year so far. It's really been great. But there was one thing, those doggone beetles, they tried to eat everything. And we were out there, you know, trying to get rid of them and drown them in water and do this and do that. It took me a long time to say, oh, maybe we should pray. Maybe we should stop and pray, say, Lord, stop this. We think we saved most of the trees, but we is he, not us. You see, we do these things. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. We need to go to him. It's in him that we live and move and have our very being. It's him that we must depend upon. What are you depending upon today? These reflections in the scripture are something that should drive us to think about how are we responding to God? How are you responding to God? Are you depending upon him? For every breath, you ought to depend upon him. For every thought, you ought to go to him. You need to hear him. You need to know that it is him. It's him that we need. He says, I have sent, verse 10, among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Just like when he delivered them from Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. There's so much bad going on, so many people dying, so much hurt that you can smell it in the streets. You know, we're closer to that than we'd like to understand or imagine. We're closer to that. Have you been to some of our cities? Have you been to some of our everywhere? Where there are sections of town that make you go, wow, what's going on here? It smells. There's a rottenness at the core of our souls that can only be fixed by God, and we have not recognize that that should drive us to God. What's driving you to God? Listen, maybe it's the hurt you have. Let that drive you to God. Maybe it's your finances. Let that drive you to God. Maybe it's your successes that have caused you so much work you don't know what to do. Let that drive you to God. Let everything drive you to God. Let it drive you to God. Go willingly. Go joyfully. Because he has the answer. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom had two problems. One is the one that we understand with, today we have the nice, sweet way of putting it, gender confusion. what do they call it, gender dyslexia, I don't know. Whatever it was not the way that God designed it. But there's another one that we don't talk about as much, is they weren't treating the poor right. They were cheating people. They were doing wrong things. Are we involved in that? Or are we choosing to do the right thing in all situations? Why in the world are there poor people in Garrettsville? Now, some of that, let's not get twisted. Some of it's because people are lazy. Some of it's because people won't do what they're supposed to do. Some of it's all of those things. But I believe that if we would bring salvation here, that we would get people saved, then we might be able to teach them how to live so that they will not find themselves in the predicament that they're in. This morass of hurt and pain. There are people who feel at their wit's end, who don't want to live because of the challenges of just getting through everyday life. And I believe that they just need a good dose of Jesus. But let's not make it simplistic. We're not talking about a little dab will do you. We're talking about a full sense of knowing who Jesus Christ is as Lord and Savior and being properly discipled over the long run so that they might live in a way that gives glory to God. Problems will come to us all. There's no doubt about that. But there's also a reality that the answer to every problem that I know of is Jesus. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. We've been plucked out of the burning, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been plucked out of the burning. If you know Jesus Christ, you've been delivered. If you will follow him, you don't have to stand in that fire any longer. You can change. You can be changed. You can be delivered. Realize that you've been plucked out of the fire. You've been translated into life. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. This is, O Israel, the people of God. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. There were some days I was not happy for Daddy to be coming home. Are you ready to see him face to face? Are you ready for him to reveal himself to you in his full glory? Are you ready? You need to get ready. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. We need to take him seriously. We need to take the blessings of hard times, difficult circumstances, confusing things. We need to take those blessings and let them drive us to God. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Open your mind. There's this wonderful blessing that's for you now. There's this wonderful blessing for you right now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to use you. He wants you to be able to navigate all of this mess, all of this stress, and be the one who knows that they are blessed. Today, even in the midst of challenging times, even as we look to our right and there's pain, even as we look to our left and there's hurt, even as all of this is going on, he says, you can experience the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Father, in the name of Jesus today, there are some that may want to pray this prayer. They want to go from one level to the next. They want to level up, Lord. Some who don't know Jesus want to come to know him. Some who have said they've known Jesus in the past but not lived like it want to confess their sin and move up to that next level so that they can experience you in a new and fresh way. Others just want to say thank you. And pray for those who have recognized they need you. So maybe, Lord, they would want to pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, we are thankful for what you are doing in our lives. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And we believe that if we come to you, you will not cast us out. Give us the desire and the strength and the ability to come to you this day. Thank you for calling us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might want to turn your hymnal.